Sin of Peor, Numbers 25, verses 1 through 9. While Israel remained at Shittim, the people began to play the harlot with the daughters of Moab, for they invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods. And the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel joined themselves to Baal of Peor, and the Lord was angry against Israel. The Lord said to Moses, "Take all the leaders of the people and execute them in broad daylight before the Lord, so that the fierce anger of the Lord may turn away from Israel." So Moses said to the judges of Israel, "Each of you slay his men who have joined themselves to Baal of Peor." Then, behold, one of the sons of Israel came and brought to his relatives a Midianite woman, in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the sons of Israel, while they were weeping at the doorway of the tent of meeting. When Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he arose from the midst of the congregation and took a spear in his hand. He went after the man of Israel into the tent and pierced both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman, through the body. So the plague on the sons of Israel was checked. Those who died by the plague were 24,000. Commentaries. The friendship of the wicked is more dangerous than their enmity, for none can prevail against God's people if they are not overcome by their inbred lusts. Nor can any enchantment hurt them, but the enticements of worldly interests and pleasures. Here is the sin of Israel, to which they are enticed by the daughters of Moab and Midian. Those are our worst enemies who draw us to sin, for that is the greatest mischief any man can do us. Israel's sin did that which all Balaam's enchantments could not do: set God against them. Diseases are the fruits of God's anger, and the just punishments of prevailing sins. One infection follows the other. Ringleaders in sin ought to be made examples of justice. Israel, having escaped the curse of Balaam, sustains a great deal of damage and reproach by the counsel of Balaam, who, it seems, before he left Balak, put him in a more effectual way than that which Balak thought of, to separate between the Israelites and their God. The Lord will not be prevailed with by Balaam's charms to ruin them. Try if they will not be prevailed with by the charms of the daughters of Moab to ruin themselves. None are more fatally bewitched than those that are bewitched by their own lusts, the sin of Israel. They were enticed by the daughters of Moab, both to whoredom and to idolatry. The punishment of this sin by the hand of the magistrate and by the immediate hand of God. The pious zeal of Phinehas in slaying Zimri and Cozbi, two impudent sinners. God's condemnation of the zeal of Phinehas, enmity put between the Israelites and the Midianites, their tempters, as at first between the woman and the serpent. Verse 1, while Israel remained at Shittim, the people began to play the harlot with the daughters of Moab. Commentaries. And Israel abode in Shittim. From this narrative, we learn assuredly that the people were no more able to bear prosperity than adversity. Either worn out by fatigue or rendered impatient by abstinence and famine, they had often rebelled against God. When they have entered a habitable land and are resting in the midst of fruitful fields, they are enticed by a more comfortable dwelling place and more pleasant mode of life, to lasciviousness and the indulgence of filthy lusts. Moses relates how, when they had given away to their lust, they fell at the same time into whoredom and idolatry. We shall presently see that this arose from the counsel of Balad, that the Moabites should prostitute their women to the Israelites in order to entice them by their blandishments to unholy worship. Salem had learnt by experience that God's favor was an invincible safeguard to protect the people from all injury. He, therefore, invents a plan whereby they may destroy themselves by not only depriving themselves of God's protection, but also by provoking his wrath against them. Verse 2, for they invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. Commentaries. For although it was God's design to avenge the violation of his worship, still it is fitting to examine into the origin and source of the evil. Just as if a drunken man has killed a person, the murder will be imputed to his drunkenness. So Paul, seeing the Israelites impelled by fornication to idolatry, sets before us the punishment as a warning to deter us from fornication, which was the primary cause of their chastisement and the means of their corruption. Since then, the fall from one sin to another is so easy, let us hence learn to be more watchful, lest Satan should entangle us in his snares. Let us also observe that he creeps upon us by degrees in order to entrap us. The Moab damsels did not straightway solicit the Israelites to worship their idols, but first invite them to their banquets and thus tempt them to idolatry. For if mention had been made at first of idol worship, perhaps they might have shuddered at the atrocity of the crime to which they allowed themselves to be beguiled by degrees. To be present at a feast which was celebrated in honor of false gods was a kind of indirect renunciation of the true God. And when they had been attracted thus far, they threw aside all shame and abandoned themselves to that extreme act whereby they transfer the honor due only to the one true God to false and imaginary deities. Verse 3. So Israel joined themselves to Baal of Peor, and the Lord was angry against Israel. Commentaries. And Israel joined himself to Baal Peor. Moses amplifies their crime by this expression that they bound themselves to the idol in an impious alliance. And thus he alludes that to that holy union between God had connected himself with the people and accuses them of broken faith and wicked rebellion. Nevertheless, it is probable that the people were not impelled by superstition, but enticed by the wiles of the woman to offer worship to idols which they despised. Yet we are told how God declared that they were joined to the idol, which they merely pretended to worship, in order to comply with the ungodly wishes of the women. Hence, therefore, this general instruction may be gathered that when we turn aside from pure religion, we, in a manner, connect ourselves with idols, so as to coalesce in one body with them and conspire to renounce the true God. Baal was then the general name of most all idols, but all epithet is added to the idol of the Moabites, taken from Mount Peor. Nor does it appear that we need to go in quest of any other etymology, since the name of this mountain has recently been mentioned. It was on the same principle as in popery, when they name their Mary after particular places where the famous statues are worshipped. Verse 4, the Lord said to Moses, take all the leaders of the people and execute them in broad daylight before the Lord, so that the fierce anger of the Lord may turn away from Israel. Commentaries. And the Lord said unto Moses, we have often seen before how God executed his judgments by his own hand, as if he put it forth from heaven. He now imposes this office on Moses, although it is evident from the context that he was not appointed to execute it alone, but that the other judges were associated with him. for it immediately follows that Moses entrusted the same charge to them. And thus, was obscured on account of the brevity with which it is recorded, is more clearly expressed. At any rate, it was a notable judgment of God Himself, though He employed men as its ministers. Nor does Paul in vain exhort us by this example to beware of fornication. The mode of the punishment, however, was diverse. For the lower orders were slain by pestilence, but the leaders were hanged upon the gallows, that the sight might awaken more terror. For by the heads of the people he means those of the highest repute, whose ignominy must be most notable, because the eyes of all men are generally upon the great and noble. Hence, also, they deservedly incur the heavier punishment, because obscure persons do less harm by their example, nor are their acts so generally the objects of imitation. Verse 5. So Moses said to the judges of Israel, each of you slay his men who have joined themselves to Baal of Peor. Commentaries. Let therefore those who are held in esteem beware lest they provoke others to sin by their evil deeds. For in proportion to each man's preeminence, the less excuse he deserves. Others interpret it differently, as if Moses were commanded to fetch the princes to give their sentence against the criminals. Thus, by the pronoun them, they understood what whosoever should be convicted, but it is hardly probable that so great a multitude were hanged, and therefore I do not doubt, but that reference is made to their peculiar punishment. This is the first place where the judges are mentioned by this name, but the verb is freely used in Exodus in describing the functions of the officers appointed at Sinai, every one his men, the men who were under his particular jurisdiction. This command given by Moses is not to be confounded with the previous command given to Moses to hang up all the chiefs. Moses only could deal with the chief, but it was within the power of the province of the judges to deal with ordinary offenders. It does not, however, appear how far either of these commands was put in practice. Verse 6. Then behold, one of the sons of Israel came and brought to his relatives a midnight woodman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the sons of Israel, while they were weeping at the doorway of the tent of meeting. Commentaries. And behold, one of the children of Israel came. Moses here relates a case which was foul and detestable beyond others. There is no doubt but that many, In the midst of such gross lasciviousness as had now for some time generally prevailed, had filled the camp with various scandalous offenses. But there was something particularly enormous in the atrocity of this act, in that this impious despiser of God wantonly insulted both God and men amidst the tears and lamentations of all, as if he were triumphing over all shame and modesty. The multitude were weeping before the tabernacle, that is to say, all the pious who trembled at the thought of approaching calamity, since they were fully persuaded that this lasciviousness, accompanied by idolatry and sacrilege, would not be unpunished. Meanwhile, this abandoned man rushes forward and, in mockery of their tears, leads his harlot in possession, as it were. No wonder, therefore, that God should have exercised such severity when things come to this extremity. Verse 7. When Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he arose from the midst of the congregation and took a spear in his hand. Commentaries. The backwardness of others is therefore condemned by implication, though their tears were praiseworthy. But since they were almost stupefied by grief, their virtue was not dear from all defect. And certainly, whilst the yet unbridled lasciviousness of the people was foaming like a tempestuous sea, we cannot wonder that the minds of the good were altogether or partially disabled. Hence was the zeal of Phinehas the more distinguished, when he did not hesitate to provoke so many worthless and wicked persons, infuriated by their lechery, if any object that he transgressed the limits of his calling when he laid hold of the sword with which God had not armed him. To inflict capital punishment, the reply is obvious, that our calling is not always confined to its ordinary office, inasmuch as God sometimes requires new and unusual acts of his servants. As a priest, it was not the office of Phinehas to punish crime, but he was called by the special inspiration of God, so that in his private capacity, he had the Holy Spirit as his guide. These circumstances, indeed, ought not to be regarded as an example, so that a general rule may be laid down from them. Though, at the same time, God preserves his free right to appoint his servants by privilege, to act in his behalf as he shall see it. God's judgment of this case may be certainly inferred from its approval, so that we may correctly argue that Phinehas was under his own guidance, since he immediately afterwards declared that he was pleased with the act, as is also stated in Psalm. Verse 8, and he went after the man of Israel into the tent and pierced both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman, through the body. So the plague of the sons of Israel was checked. Commentaries: if any private person should in his preposterous zeal take upon himself to punish a similar crime, in vain will he boast that he is an imitator of Phineas, unless he shall be thoroughly assured of the command of God. Let the answer of Christ, therefore, always be borne in mind by us, whereby he restrained his disciples when they desired, like Elijah, to pray that those who had not received them should be destroyed by fire from heaven. You know not what manner of spirit ye are of. In order, therefore, that our zeal may be approved by God, it must be tempered by situational prudence and directed by his authority. In a word, the Holy Spirit must go before and dictate what is right. Verse 9. Those who died by the plague were 24,000. Commentaries. Fell in one day 3,020,000, says Paul. As the Septuagint does not deviate here from the Hebrew, the apostle must have followed some rabbinical tradition. It is possible enough that the odd 1,000 died on some other day, and that the one of which he speaks, or they may have died by the hands of the judges and not by the plague. Paul, when he says that only 23,000 died, appears to differ from Moses. But we know that the exact account of numbers is not always observed, and it is probable that about 24,000 were slain. Paul therefore subtracted 1,000 and was content with the lesser number, from which, however, we may perceive how severe and terrible was the punishment, teaching us to beware of provoking God by fornication. For as it is a monstrous thing that so great a multitude should have been infected by this foul and shameful sin. So God's fearful judgment against adulterers and fornicators is set before us.